Good afternoon, Monday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Home on the Prairie weather meteorologist Mark Ewan says the eastern Dakotas and western Minnesota should see a good planting window over the next 5 days.
This whole week should be excellent for drying conditions and getting out there and getting things done. We're going to have very little precipitation over the next 5 days as a large storm system builds into the western U.S. High pressure aloft will bring a warming but drier southerly flow to the region through much of this week.
Temperatures will be slightly above normal for the week, and Ewan says the next chance of rain will be toward the weekend.
Late Thursday, maybe, some scattered showers about, with a better chance coming on Friday, but right now even that doesn't look that great at the present time. Then perhaps a boundary kind of getting hung up across the region for next weekend, which will bring periodic shots of showers and storms. But again, it's a little early in the year for the big kind of rains, but it's something we're going to have to watch because we probably will get a couple of thunderstorms in there as well.
It will be a busy week for field work in the Red River Valley as farmers try to take advantage of warmer temperatures. Lovis Ag Consulting owner and agronomist Sarah Lovis says the fields are still wet south of Hillsboro.
At least down in the Fargo Clay, we're trying to make things go, and it just feels like the fields are wetter than what they look like when you drive by them, and so I'm concerned that there is going to be some fighting of mud all week, but at the same time, the clock is ticking, and we have to do something, and so I think it's going to be a busy week. Hopefully, it won't be a frustrating week. And we'll see how it goes, and we're going to hope for the best and make things go. I'm thankful for the seed bed I'm on right now. I've got a good seed bed in this field, so I'll take that.
Lovis is planting corn today. They started planting last week.
The drain-tiled ground for us has really been helping us out quite a bit, and the stuff that we planted really early was basically a drain-tiled gravel pit. And then the corn that we planted last Monday was actually some lighter ground that was also drain-tiled. So that's making a big difference. The field that we're going on right now is actually by the Goose River, and the river always backs up into it and floods, and that really took the frost out and helped get this field in shape and ready to go. So that's kind of what I've been finding, but we're way behind what our normal planting progress should be.
Near East Grand Forks, Minnesota, farmer Matthew Kruger is planting soybeans and wheat today. Corn planting is still on hold.
Those fields are not quite ready to go in the other 3-4 days, but I don't even know if we're going to get those 3-4 days before it rains again. So we're just going on what we can and rolling.
Today is the first full day of planting for Kruger. However, the fields are still wet, and last fall is lingering.
The farmers in the East Grand Forks area, I think we're all pretty beat up from last year's fall. I know we're probably tired too, and it just seems we're always going uphill with everything. Like, we just can't seem to catch a break. So hopefully this weather holds for everyone to let us get some of the ground works tilled. I talked to a friend of mine in Thompson today, and he's got about 500 acres of last year's wheat stubble ground, which is meant for sugar beet. And he told me today, he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to get this in. I don't know how I'm going to be able to get my sugar beet crop in right now. So there's a lot of just issues from last fall that are just still lingering.
MR Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says farmers in the northeastern corner of North Dakota are making slow but steady planting progress.
It's coming along very nicely. I mean, it's probably slower progress than we would like to see. The wetter stuff, being the old soybean ground or some dry bean ground, seems to be our stickler point on what we can get across. Otherwise, most of the old beet ground, if it was going to go to wheat, that seems to be planted. Sugar beets are going in probably not as timely as we would like them to be, but they're going to be, you know, pretty much wrapped up here in this part of the country by, for sure, the middle of the end of the week.
The crop is just starting to emerge.
You know, we really haven't been in long enough to look, but just driving by the fields now that were seeded a couple weeks ago for wheat, obviously, you can see, you know, spears starting to come through. So I think the emergence will be fine. But yeah, I think to get this crop up and running, we're in great shape.
Bennett Consulting owner Matt Bennett is based out of central Illinois, where they had excessive rains over the weekend.
Central Illinois and west of me just got pummeled in places. I mean, unfortunately, we had about 2.5 inches for the whole rain event. We didn't need that. And a lot of folks finished up corn planting last week. Probably going to have to do some replanting, some spotting in. It almost seems like last year, because the last 2 weeks, we've actually had a lot of rain.
And Bennett says it's been frustrating trying to get that field work done in his area.
Here you get over around Springfield, Illinois, they had 4 inches of rain. So definitely a lot of issues in Central Illinois again this year, but I think it's fairly localized. You know, a lot of places actually got an excellent start. You know, you're going to be over 80% on corn, I'm sure, this week. You'll be over 60 on soybeans. And so definitely really good progress overall this year.
USDA will release their weekly crop progress report this afternoon, and the grain trade is expecting corn planting at 82 to 84% complete. If realized, this would be an increase of at least 15 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean planting progress is forecast at 51 to 54% complete nationwide, compared to 38% the previous week. Spring wheat planting is expected at 56 to 58% complete, compared to 42% the previous week. That report out at 3 p.m. this afternoon Central Time.
The official White House schedule indicates President Trump will deliver remarks regarding agriculture in the food supply chain tomorrow. No other details were given, but the Office of Management and Budget completed its analysis of the COVID-19 relief package for farmers and ranchers. A total of $16 billion in direct payments will be made by the USDA. A friendly reminder, the Red River Farm Network is now on Spotify. Follow the Red River Farm Network, Transformation, and Engage podcasts on Spotify. You can listen to these podcasts and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Farmers still weighing their acreage decisions for this growing season. Some have started planting their 2020 crop. Others are still waiting for the ground to dry out. Ag Country Farm Credit Services Market Education Specialist Katie Tangen encourages farmers to take a close look at cash flows.
We'll start with corn and that balance sheet. A little bit complicated because last year when we looked at soybeans are the ones that really struggled. You know, they had a projected carryout of over a billion bushels, but then we had that planting issue that was so wet in May and into June, and we didn't get the acres we thought. The yield wasn't that great, so we were managed to work down a lot of that carryout. Unfortunately, through that same process, we've managed to attract a lot more corn, and that's how it works. It's kind of a pendulum, so we swung really far in one direction for beans, and now we're swinging back ways the other way.
Tangen says there continues to be a lot of questions surrounding corn, particularly for North Dakota's farmers.
You know, there's going to be a lot of questions on, do we continue to put corn in? Do we start to switch acres over? And I think we are to the point that, you know, prevent plant is going to be a legitimate question in a lot of people's minds, at least in North Dakota, but maybe also some parts of far northwestern Minnesota. And so you're really going to have to push a pencil to that and say, you know, what is my eligibility and is it better? You know, and we have a couple weeks. I should add that the last plant date is not for 10 days, but still, the window's getting short here. Kind of plan those out. Does it make sense to switch to soybeans? Am I worried about, you know, if I push that date, whether my corn crop is going to finish?
Hear more of the conversation in the latest Rural Perspectives podcast from Ag Country Farm Credit Services that can be found at rrfn.com.
The Minnesota legislative session wrapped up at midnight on Sunday with unfinished business. The bonding bill still needs to be accomplished. A special session is expected in mid-June. Here's Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
In a democracy and the way that the bonding bill is set up, where it takes the closer to supermajority, you need to have bipartisan support. That did not happen.
Part of the challenge in getting the bonding bill done at the end of session was cost and time. Senate Republicans were concerned about the cost, and Senate Democrats were concerned about the time. Senate Minority Leader Susan Kent says lawmakers didn't get the Senate Republicans' bill until last moment.
It did not measure up to what we need to do in this time. And so I really hope that we can, at a detailed level, because there is it's more than just talking about a number. There's a real collection of facts and information that go into this that have to be worked through, and you can't just do that overnight.
The COVID-19 pandemic did change up the agenda for this year's session. This shifted around priorities for agriculture, including the Section 179 conformity. There was no tax bill passed to include it. However, Governor Walz did sign into law an omnibus agricultural policy bill over the weekend.
AgriVisor market analyst Joe Camp says the agriculture commodities appear to be finding a little support from outside markets, especially with a higher crude oil market.
Yeah, that helps, and that's fitting with the general recovery storyline here, that we have the economy reopening in areas. We have consumers driving again. Last week's ethanol report, also strong for corn processing, to show at least that we have another third straight week of building production, and we have inventories dropping again. So that's a strong sign that we at least have some recovery from that very important domestic source of demand there.
Another bright spot is a big rally in the CRB Equity Index.
It's because it's a good gauge of investor sentiment overall, and not just speculative in and out type managed money that we talk a lot about in the grain markets that can be long or short, but what's the sentiment for big long only index traders, those big funds that make up our retirement accounts and long bullish long-term investments in the space, and are they willing to come in and take a flyer on commodities given that they have been relative to equities or relative to past 5 years, they have been sharply discounted here. So we're watching that closely.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending May 14th shows corn inspections of 1.15 million metric tons, 17% below the previous week, 36% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections at 352,000 tons are down 34% from the previous week. It's also 29% below the year-ago pace. Weekly inspections for wheat of 441,000 tons are 28% more than the previous week, but 47% less than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are down 30%, soybean inspections are up about 5%, wheat inspections just less than 1% higher than a year ago.
Cash cattle and meat prices have seen some wild swings over the past 10 days. Last week's live cattle prices ranged from $110 to $120 per hundredweight, while the dress prices ranged from $170 to $190 per hundredweight. Boxed beef cutouts were even more volatile. The choice cutout set a record gain on Monday, May 4th, of $32.60 per hundredweight, and then set a record loss this past Friday, May 15th, of $16.60 per hundredweight. The select cutout set its record gain of $34.05 per hundredweight on Tuesday, May 5th, and then set a record loss last Friday at $18.34 per hundredweight.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat down 1¾ at 504.5. July Chicago wheat down 1¾, rather down 2 at 498.25. July Kansas City wheat down 6¼. July corn up 1¼ at 320.5. December corn up 0.5 at 332.5. July beans up 5¼ at 843¾. November beans up 6 at 851.5. June live cattle up $1.40 at 98.37. August up 60 cents. May feeder cattle up $2.02 at 126.75. August up $1.32. June lean hogs down 32 cents at 57.55. July down 45 cents. A friendly reminder, the 91st Minnesota FFA Convention kicks off tomorrow. That event is virtual this year. Check out the link to watch sessions this week at rrfn.com along with our coverage. This is the Red River Farm Network.